good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you are here. You know, all the announcements that we have and all the things that we have up on the board and the videos and everything else, this is the reason why we have so many. Because I am so glad to be a part of a church that has a plan to reach a community, right? I know a lot of churches that their plan is to just maintain and not lose anybody. That's not our plan at New Freedom Church. Our plan is to minister to families, because how many of you guys are part of a family? Raise your hand. All of us are part of families. And being a part of a family is a very difficult thing. I'm a pastor, but I have family that is difficult. I can be difficult. Raise your hand if you can be difficult this morning. You're in church. It's a Sunday morning. All right? Don't lie. Thank you for your honesty. All right? So at New Freedom Church, we have a plan to reach our community. Here's our plan, just so you know, from now up into Easter, this is our plan. Our plan is to minister to young families. The way that we're going to do that is, number one, we have a marriage conference that's coming up in February that ministers to families. Number two, we're going to, the Lord's been laying it on my heart to do a series called Blended. How many of you guys come from a blended family? Raise your hand. You've had a stepmom, stepdad? Yes, me too. I have had four stepdads. I have four dads in my lifetime. Four. I've had one mother, all right, and then one stepmom. For me, in my life, it was a bit confusing, and it would have been nice if I had somebody to help me navigate through those waters. It's tough. How many of you guys are a stepdad or a stepmom? Okay. That is hard as well. And so God's laid on my heart I'm developing right now a series solely on that called Blended. And then we're gonna continue to minister families in February. My whole sermon series in February is going to be on family, on navigating through the waters of family, through marriage, through how to deal with kids and teenagers, and how to get a break, and how to love your spouse the way Christ loved the church. Man, that's tough. That's hard. And so this is our plan for New Freedom Church. This is how we reach our community. We not only do it here, but we also go out into the community and minister to families and to whoever will allow us to do it. And the way we do that is by we do common things to help people. We do free car washes. How many of you guys like free? I love free stuff. I go on Craigslist. You know what the first thing I hit is? Free stuff. You know, there's a whole house you can get that is completely free right now. I'm thinking about getting it. I don't know how I'm going to dismantle it. Gerald, I think, is going to help me with that. A few other you guys is going to help me. It's going to be awesome, all right? So I love free stuff. And so the way we do that is we minister to people in our community. We wash cars for free. We go out and we do things in the community for free to help families, to help people, because we believe that the message that we have is the cure for their life. And that message is simple. Jesus. That's it. It's not any more complicated than that, right? And so the other way that we do it is that every Sunday morning you get an opportunity to come and to listen to a word that not only is theologically sound, all right? How many of you guys, you don't walk out on Sunday mornings going, I remember that theology for the rest of my life. No, you don't say that. If you do, God bless you, all right? But what I do, my goal is every Sunday morning is to give you something that you can take home with you that will absolutely change your life, that you can apply to your life right here, right now. Are you guys ready to apply? You ready? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before you, and I thank you so much for the privilege and the high honor of getting to teach your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing, that it would challenge us, that it would motivate us, Lord, to take steps toward you. And I ask, Father, this morning you would anoint each and every heart, mind, and spirit to receive your word and anoint me to deliver it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you turn with me to the book of John, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right? Fourth book of the New Testament. This is Jesus talking to his so-called disciples. All right? We're in a series called Made New. This is the second part. If you saw my goofy video yesterday, you'll notice that it's the second series in called Made New. And so we talked last week about receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, and that immediately makes you new. It makes you born again, a child of God. There's nothing else that you have to do. You can't earn salvation. It is a free gift, right? And so you were made new in that way. We talked about the butterfly and how it goes. Yes, I talked about butterflies, guys, all right? Forgive me, but I did. I talked about butterflies and talked about how they go into that cocoon or it goes in there and it metamorphoses into a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. And the whole dynamic has completely changed, all right? And so that is what being born again is. The second part of this series of being made new is a renewed mind. How many of you guys struggle in your mind, struggle with self-image, struggle with what has been taught to you all of your life, struggled with things that you have placed in your own head as well? We all do. We all struggle with that. The battlefield of the mind is real, right? It is real. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. So John chapter 8, starting with verse 31 and 33. If you don't have your smartphones or your actual tangible Bible, it's up there on the screens for you. This is what it says. So Jesus said to the Jews that believed him, "If you abide in me," everybody say abide. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There's a key phrase there. Some of the Jews were coming to him and putting their faith in Jesus. Instead of the old law, they were putting their faith in Jesus. And here's the key phrase I want us to focus on this morning. If you abide in my word. Abide. What does that word mean? I looked it up, and this is what abide means. And you can follow along with me. It says this. It means to obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, conform to, adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance with, hold, heed, accept, go along with, acknowledge, respect, adhere to, or defer to. So let's read John 8 again, applying this definition to what Jesus said. It makes the whole scripture really come alive. Listen to what it says. So Jesus said to the Jews that believe him, "If you abide, obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, conform to, adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance with, uphold, heed, accept, go along with, acknowledge, respect, and defer to my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Notice that Jesus didn't say, "Hey, if you'll just skip through my word, if you'll half-heartedly follow it, if you'll just read it ever so often, then you may be set free." No, Scripture says, Jesus said to the Jews that were believing in him, "If you will abide in me." In other words, if you will obey me, if you'll stick to and stand by, if you'll act in accordance with my word, if you'll uphold my word, if you would heed my word, if you would accept my word, if you would go along with it and acknowledge it and respect it and defer to my word, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Guys, that is incredible. That is remarkable. But Jesus said this. He goes, first you have to abide. You can't just follow along at a distance. You know, the reason why we have married folks in the place, if you have a ring on your finger, that means you're sticking with, you're abiding with. No matter what happens, you're going to adhere to the things that you have committed to. You're going to act in accordance with, you're going to uphold your marriage vows, you're going to heed it, you're going to accept it, you're going to go along with it, you're going to respect it. There's no more ambiguity in marriage. You have made a commitment to rich or poor, better or for worse. By the way, after the second service, there's going to be a marriage ceremony. That seems to be happening in New Freedom a lot, right? So we're going to be doing that again. After the second service, if you want to come back and enjoy Greg and Candy are getting married, and they said, Pastor, can we do that on Sunday morning after service? And I said, let's get her done, right? So that's what we're going to do. If you want to come back and enjoy their being, you know, along with their happy day, then fine. Come and celebrate with them, all right? But when we have this ring on our finger, that means that we no longer are going to date or go with anybody else. We look at our husband, we look at our wife, and we say, you are God's best for me. I was born to be your husband. You were born to be my wife. We are one, and no matter how much you annoy me, no matter how deep the divide may be, we're going to find a way to bridge the gap. That's what marriage is all about. It's hard. It's tough. It's not for the faint of heart. And following Christ is the same way. That's why Jesus was telling the Jews that were believing in him. And by the way, in those days, that was a very difficult thing to do. Jews were paying the price to leave the old way and accept the better and new covenant, which is Jesus himself. And that's why Jesus said this. He said, guys, listen, it's not about just reading the law on Sunday. It's not about adhering to a set rules. It's about abiding in me. It's about trusting me. When you feel like you want to run away, I want you to trust me. When you feel like that you don't want to get up in the morning, I want you to abide in me. I want you to adhere to my word. I want you to go along with it. I want you to respect it. I want you to adhere to it. Stick by it. Conform to it. Because in doing that, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Guys, I don't apologize about speaking passionately about this, because we're talking about freedom here. We're talking about liberating your soul, liberating your life so that you can know the way, the truth, and the life. Because it's in a hearing and abiding to His Word that we are truly set free. It's not about our good works. It's not about what we do. It's about what He has done. And what our next step is in the process, and that's to abide in His Word, right? So there's a difference between believing in Jesus and believing like Jesus. Scripture says, even the demons believe and tremble. So the demons know this. They're afraid of Him. They know Jesus. They believe, and they tremble. But there's a difference between believing in Jesus and believing like Jesus. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if you've seen the Father, you have seen me. Because the two of us, we're one. He said, I only want to do what I see my Father in heaven doing. I remember as a little kid, Joshua, my youngest, he went to school and they had this day of, hey, what do you want to be? And they would draw the picture and the whole nine yards. And one year for Halloween, we hand out candy at Halloween. We do that. And so he wanted to dress up like his dad. So I had a business back home called Mid-South Painting. And we had the shirts, the hats. We had the whole deal. We were legitimate. We painted houses and all this stuff. And all he wanted to do was be like his dad. Anytime I painted something in the house, he had to have his paintbrush with me, doing it right alongside. Christian's like, you can have that. Don't want to do that. But Joshua, man, he was right under my feet. Christian, he was into hunting, and so I took him out. We learned how to track deer, hunt deer, killed his first deer, got it taken away by the DNR. It was a wonderful, beautiful thing. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to even talk about that one, but... it was actually the DNR's fault. It truly was. But the thing is, they wanted to be like their dad. They wanted to mimic their dad. They wanted their own paintbrush. They wanted to hunt like dad and all these different things. And so, and that's what Jesus is saying. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so what does that mean? That means that Jesus had been with his Father. He knew his Father. He respected his Father. He honored his Father because he knew his Father's heart. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you believe like Jesus. It doesn't mean that you have been with him. You see, we get frustrated with God because we don't understand his heart. We don't understand his plan. We don't understand his ways. We don't know that what we're going through is for our benefit and his glory. We don't understand that when we're in hard times and we're confused and we're hurting and we're in pain and anguish, that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. You know where Jesus got that? He got it from his Father. He got it from his Father. Because he and the Father are one. And he only wants to do what he sees his Father in heaven. So Jesus told those who believed him that they need to know the truth in order to be free in their lives. Abiding in the truth leads us to believing like Jesus. I don't know about you, but from time to time I seek out people that I know that are anointed men of God who can pray over me when I need prayer. I don't wake up every morning and put on a suit coat and go, da-da-da-da. You know, super pastor. No, I don't do that. Ask my wife. It's not good, you know. It's not good in the mornings half the time. And, you know, we're yelling at the kids to get out of bed just like you are. You know, there's nothing super about me. There's nothing, you know, extra special about me that I get to stand up here. It's all about the call of God on my life. That's it. We are the same, right? And it's okay. And sometimes I seek after prayer and I call people that I know that are going to pray for me. I know that I want to call people that can lift me up and pronounce a blessing on me or help me get through a breakthrough in my life. We should do that. It's important in our growth as believers. You know, some people find freedom in going to special conferences, right? They'll go to this conference or that conference. That's nothing wrong with that. I just came back from a conference. It's a beautiful thing. Some people find their freedom in worship nights and going to special events or special services. But for whatever reason, it never sticks. You walk out of the place and your head is full of knowledge. Your emotions have been touched. You're excited. And then all of a sudden, a week later, you can't remember what was talked about. The passion is gone, the joy is gone, the excitement is gone, the worship is gone. You can't remember what you sang about on worship night because it was a week ago, and already the problems of life has already overwhelmed you again. And there never seems to be consistent, abiding breakthrough in your life. And the reason is because we're not abiding in Him. We're not putting our hope in Him. A lot of folks put their hope in getting zapped by an anointed super rock star Christian, right? They go, they travel, you know, 1,000 miles to get Benny Hinn to pray over them. When Benny Hinn has the same Spirit of God in him that you do. Amen? There's nothing special about Benny Hinn that you do not have in your own life. Each and every one of us has a measure of the Spirit of God within inside of us to lay hands on ourselves, to receive healing, to receive breakthrough, to receive anointing, to receive clarity. It's not about who I am. It's about who He is. And you're connected to Him just like I am. Amen? Now, in New Freedom Church, if you're new here today, we love to say amen. Right? If something hits you, say amen, Pastor. All right? Something hits you, go ahead. It's all right. I'm from the South. We say amen a lot. There's like hankies flying. You guys don't realize how much I truly hold back, all right? If I could stick an organ up here and just, you know. But here's the thing. We need to understand that it's not about the man of God or a television evangelist. It's about the Spirit of God that abides in you. It's real. He is alive, able and willing to cause breakthrough in your life, but you have got to be willing to abide. And in, abiding in His Word means that it begins to transform the way we think. It begins to transform the way we view things and the way we speak over our lives. Right? So again, it's okay to ask for prayer. I do it, and so should you. You should seek out somebody to help you pray sometimes. But there must be a greater emphasis placed on changing our mindset. That is the key. If we fail to do this, we will be enslaved by lies, no matter who you ask for prayer from or where you get it. You will always be enslaved to lies if we do not change our mindset. So how do we do that? We've got to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, turn with me there real quick. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Now he's talking not to just anybody. He's talking to the church in Rome. He said, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." All right? So the word conform, you guys, I spent a lot of time in the dictionary this week. It's like, you know, normally I don't read the dictionary a whole lot. How many of you guys love reading the dictionary? Right? You go home after a hard day. You sit down, you got some sweet tea. Maybe you guys don't drink sweet tea. I love sweet tea. In my house, we drink sweet tea. I sit down, I lay back, kick back in my lazy boy chair, and then I grab my dictionary. Man, I love that, right? No, nobody does, all right? Nobody does that. But I felt like when reading Scripture, we need to understand verbiage and what they're trying to teach us here. And the word conform means to comply with. Comply with. That means if we receive Christ, we also receive His teachings. And when we receive His teachings and we receive Him as Lord, that means He has dominion over our life and a right to speak truth to us. So we must conform to the Lord of our life. To conform, to adhere to. So it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in doing so, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." These words are revolutionary. They're monumental. Jesus was free because He believed truth in every area of His life. We too are to renew our minds to believe truth in every aspect of our lives. And that doesn't just come after one sermon and after you saying, "Yep, I'm going to do that." It is a process. And when you go through that process and you say, "Yes, Lord, I will adhere, I will stick to, I will respect, I will defer to, I'll stand by, and respect," and so forth, you will be tested on your commitment. In your marriage, you will be tested in your commitment. And it's not all the time because of some little hottie walking by or some strapping man walking by. It comes by life circumstances hitting you. Do you know that 83% of all marriages end after a child dies? 83% of all marriages. That's staggering. I don't know their story. I'm not judging them because it happens. Our commitment can happen whenever one of us loses our job, maybe because either the economy is in a slump or just simply because you're a knucklehead and you won't show up to work on time. Or maybe it's because you're dealing with things in the past and your mom and dad have told you things about yourself and you have believed that lie all of your life and it has hindered the way you love your spouse. That's getting real in the sanctuary this morning. when we make a commitment to conform, to abide, to stick to respect, to adhere to defer to, you're going to be tested on every side of your commitment. The enemy is going to come around, and Scripture says he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to check your armor. I told you guys a story about my dog, right? That she loves going into my wife's closet and sleeping on her shoes. She loves it. She goes into Christian's room and she goes up the stairs. Her essence is everywhere. When I say essence, I mean her fur. It's everywhere. So we try to shut the doors around the house, but every once in a while we'll leave a door ajar. We didn't shut it. And we have those old school doors in our house, and the knobs are old school. They're probably about 50 years old, and so sometimes they don't shut. And Mika, our dog, she'll go around with her nose and she'll check those doors because she loves to get into Dana's closet. She loves to sleep on her shoes. And the enemy will do this very same thing. When we feel like we have shut a door in our life and got the victory and made a commitment in our life, the enemy has the right to go and examine your commitment. And he'll nudge on that door that you have closed. He'll nudge on that wound that God has healed. He'll nudge on it to test and see if your commitment is truly legitimate. That's why we need the Spirit of God welling up inside of us. That's why we need to adhere to the Word of God, to abide in the truth, because it's knowing the truth that's going to set you free. It's knowing the truth that's going to cause us to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Right? So sometimes, due to unresolved issues in our lives, we feel drained and void of spiritual passion. We can't truly experience the joy of the Lord because our unresolved situations are continuing to go and play around and around in our minds. In order for us to stop the madness and the cycle, we need to adhere to God's Word so that our minds can be made new. Ephesians 6:13 says this, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your guard. And after you have done everything to stand, stand therefore." So how do we go against the enemy? How do we stand in the midst of all of this? It takes this. It takes putting on the full armor of God. And can I just say this? Can I just say this morning? Every one of us in this room has unresolved issues in our life. All of us do. We all do. Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's talking about you, Mr. Unresolved Issue. He's talking about you." Whether it's lingering problems with another person or circumstances that are completely out of our control, or even some of the things that we've been dealing with for years, or emotional struggles or habits or whatever is rearing its ugly head up, we need to do one thing and learn to stand. Now again, my boys are going to kill me because I talk about them all the time, but you know, when I became a dad for the first time, like, I'd never changed a diaper at all, ever. All right, I never held a kid much or anything, so it was an awkward start at best for me. I remember when Dana's parents left after Christian was born, and it was just Dana and I and Christian. My heart started to beat real quick because I'm like, I really don't know what to do next, because this kid can't talk, he can't get up, he can't change himself. I'm getting overwhelmed here, right? And so I didn't pick Christian up for the first time and bring him home and try to stand him up and just let him go. I've dropped him on his head a few times. But I've never just demanded that this little infant walk immediately. Like, you've been at home for 5 hours. At least walk to the bathroom. You know? At least feed yourself. Like, I've showed you this spoon 10 times. It's not that big a deal. Pick it up. This is common sense, right? But here's the thing. There is a process in our growth. Eventually, he learned to stand. He learned to walk. He learned to eat and bathe and all these different things. He's driving a car now without mom and dad in the vehicle. Some strange times at the McDonald house. We don't get to these places on day one. We learn to stand gradually. And as we begin to stand on God's truth, we begin to give God a chance to fight our battles for us. And today, I want you to give God a chance to fight your battles for you. To stand in the face of adversities. To stand when your mind is telling you that you can't, that it's crazy to accept Christ. It's crazy to put God in the center of your marriage, in the center of your home. That's crazy. It's never been done before. It can be done today, starting today, with your decision to abide in His Word and trust Him. Amen? And so Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and listen, the day of evil will come. That hard day will come. But in the face of adversity, we need to learn to stand. Ephesians 6 says, after you have done everything. What does that mean? It means that we need to do more than just pray. We need to do everything we possibly can do to get ourselves out of the situation that we're in. Yes, pray, but also do. Right? So when we know all to, when we've done everything we know to do, Scripture says, then stand. Stand. I told you guys about Israel and coming out of Egypt and going across on dry ground. Well, they didn't go across on dry ground before they had to make a decision to either trust God or to go back and be enslaved for the rest of their lives again, generation after generation after generation. And God said, here's what I want you to do. Moses, point your staff toward the Red Sea. Walk across on dry ground. Turn around and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes when we're panicking, when we don't know what else to do, we need to do this. We need to stand and let God fight the battles for us. Let Him fight your battle for you. Trust Him. Believe Him. Abide Him in Him. Adhere to. Stick to. Stand by. Conform to. Abide in His Word. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Would you stand with me this morning? There's a song that says, I will praise you in the storm. It says, I will praise you in the storm. I will lift my hands. For you are who you are, no matter where I am. No matter where I am, you are who you are. How crazy is it to worship God in the middle of the storm? Yeah, it makes sense when we're standing right here and our life is good and everything makes sense. We didn't have any troubles Sunday morning coming to church. We had a great week, and so it makes sense that when Dana starts singing that we raise our hands and thank God because, wow, we had a great week. But do you know it makes more sense for you to drag yourself out of bed, for you to lick your wounds and to bind up your wounds when you've had the most devastating week of your entire life? It makes more sense for you to come in here crippled and hurting and bleeding from the week that you had and raise your hands up and worship Him anyway. Church, that's where you learn to stand. It's not on the mountaintops that you learn to stand. It's when you're hurting. It's when you're beat up. It's whenever you've had the worst week of your life and you come anyway and you do not let your circumstances dictate your praise. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, I don't want you just to believe in me. I want you to abide in me. Stay with me. Stick with me. And I promise I'll never leave you. I promise I'll never forsake you. I'll stick by you closer than a brother. But we got to give Him a chance. We got to lift up our hands even in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the storm. and say, Lord, I'll praise you in the storm. I will lift my hands because you are who you are, no matter where I am. Church, we need to learn those things, to praise him in the storm. That's when we learn to stand. That's when we learn to abide in him. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? You're here today and you need Christ in your life. You know that that's the missing link. You know maybe you've been struggling with that decision for a while. Look, you're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. No matter who you are, God knew you were going to be here today. Today, your striving, your struggle, it can be done today by receiving Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, to receive him. What does that mean? It means simply to repent and ask Christ to not just come into your heart, but come into every part of who you are. That's what he wants. Your struggles. He wants everything that nobody else would take. Jesus loves to take. Because he can take those things and he can make them new. He can transform your life and make it new. Not better, new. Not just veer off, but set your life on a course that is full of blessing and healing. Purpose and breakthrough in your life. Jesus not one time said that if you accept me as your Lord and Savior that you would never struggle again. He never said that. He never said your life would be rosy if you just receive me into your life. He didn't say that. But he did say I'd never leave you. He did say I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that it would empower you. He did say that. He did say that you would be a child of God. And so today, this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to reach. That's missing in my life. I'm not going to call you out. With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, this is really a holy moment. If you want to receive Christ into your life, would you just raise your hand so I can, just me and you. That's all. You say, Pastor, that's me. All right. Anybody else? Think about it. Amen. You say, Pastor, listen, I've been a Christian for a while, and man, I have been running from learning to stand. And I need to learn to stand. And I'm struggling, and I need to stand. I need to abide. I need to trust. I'm having difficulty with that. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Pastor, I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the thick of it. I need to learn to abide and to stand. Done with running. Amen. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. At New Freedom, we pray together. We see these banners across the room, and they all tell you what we're about. And we love people. And so we pray with one another. So would you do this with me? Let's all bow our heads, and we're going to pray out loud. Just pray with me. If you don't want to pray out loud, that's fine. You're not required to do it, but if you want to, I just want you to pray out loud with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and I receive you today. Teach me to stand. Heal my mind and make me new into something beautiful, with purpose and a future. God, teach me to stand in the midst of the storm. Be my strength and my courage. Help me to abide in you as I trust you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Johnny, would you come over here? Pastor Gerald and Stephanie, if you come over here. Listen, guys, if you need prayer about anything today, these guys are here to speak with you, to pray with you, to encourage you. Rob and Christy, if you come as well. If you need prayer about anything, if you receive Christ into your life today, I want to encourage you. Tell one of these men, tell one of these ladies what you have done, and they will point you what you need to do next, okay? I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to be dismissed, and then enjoy one another's company. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word that was spoken here today. God, may it be food for our lives. May it change us forever. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. You are dismissed. Enjoy one another's company. Be respectful for those that are praying. Love you guys. Enjoy your Sunday. You're dismissed.